Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thanks, Steve. Today we're going to talk about an important subject that applies to every couple and family seeking to enjoy the full-time RV lifestyle, and that's how to maintain healthy personal relationships while confined to 400 square feet of living space. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear, because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session once each month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Levi and Natalie Henley have been married for 12 years and full-time RVing for 6 of them. In fact, they've also worked 20 work camping jobs together. Through it all, they've learned a lot about each other's personal habits and traits on the job and how to differentiate what goes on at work from their private lives. Levi explains how work camping is different from traditional work situations because the couples are often working side by side rather than at different work sites. So it's no longer a matter of coming together and asking each person how their day went because they've been sharing the same experiences and working with the same people. What is important is that couples process their feelings pertaining to what is happening on the job in a way that bolsters healthy communication rather than bottling in any frustrations they may experience. It's essential that couples support one another in work camping situations, to be a supportive cheerleader when things aren't going well, and coaching the other person on how to make the situations better. They discuss an issue I never would have considered before, and that's how many couples may playfully interact with each other in words and actions that could cause problems for other employees and would be considered violations of company policies. It's also important in work situations when a spouse says or does something that annoys the other person. If a different employee had done the same thing, it would likely have been easier to brush off. However, because the spouse was the offender, different dynamics come into play. The Henleys discuss the importance of giving each other plenty of space for alone time to decompress through tough situations or simply to pursue a hobby. Work camping can be particularly troubling for some couples who have never worked together in employment situations. The Henleys offer advice on what to expect during those early jobs so that couples can be aware of what's likely to happen so they can recognize a potential problem before it becomes a big flare-up. To tell us how they maintain a positive relationship with each other as well as the other folks they must work with in work camping situations, please welcome Levi and Natalie Henley to the show. Thanks for joining us again, Levi and Natalie. I appreciate the time. We're going to talk about something that's been on my mind for a long time, and that's the impact of full-time RVing on relationships. How long have you folks been full-time RVing and work camping?
We've been full-time RVing for 6 years, and we've been work camping for the entirety of that 6 years. And so I think total we've worked about 20 jobs together.
Wow, that's impressive. How long have you been married?
Do you know how long we've been married?
I'm going to test out Natalie on this one.
We've been married for 12 years.
For 12 years. So half of your time has been spent work camping and RVing. So, yeah.
Okay. I guess it has.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Super. And you've had how many jobs working together?
It's been a little bit over 20 jobs. They range from working at campgrounds. We worked at a pumpkin patch and a Christmas tree lot together. And then we've kind of worked more, I guess, indirect jobs, like through Amazon, Sugar Beet Harvest. We worked at Prairie Berry Winery and a Christmas decor, a decorating company.
Okay, so that's given you a lot of time to work together. It's almost like you run a business together, and a lot of people do that as well, where they're never really separated because they're always working together and living together. So,
absolutely, yeah.
How is
work? We actually had a little business together before we started full-time RVing. We co-owned a pet sitting service in Las Vegas for a couple of years. So I think that was our first experience, like, working together.
Mm-hmm. Has work camping brought you closer?
I would say yes. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty much with each other all of the time. So physically, it definitely has brought us closer. But yeah, also, I guess,
I think we've learned a lot about each other's working style and kind of how to differentiate that from our, I guess, our personal lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a challenge, really, because you've got two people confined to the same 400 square feet. So it's better than being in a yacht. I mean, you can't go for a walk if you're out in a boat or a ship or something like that out at sea. But in an RV, you can at least get away.
Yes, exactly.
So are there some things that, how has work camping brought you together? I mean, the time together, obviously, and working together, but shared experiences too, does that help?
In a lot of ways, sharing the experiences have, as opposed to, you know, when you both have two different jobs, and you kind of go to your jobs and then you kind of come back and give highlights of the day, to your partner. They don't, you don't necessarily know exactly what the work life is of your partner. Whereas work camping together, you literally, experience a lot of times the exact same things at the exact same time. So you not only have a story to tell, or feelings to share about what the goings on of the day are, but you literally have the same experience.
Right. And also having that, your partner, your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, with you those first couple of days of starting a new job, that's very comforting because you're in a new place. You're in a new setting and doing possibly a new kind of job that you've never done before. So that's very reassuring to have that support with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think of it like when you're at a party, people that know each other typically kind of stay in their own little groups. Because those groups are comforting for them, you can almost, if you take a step back and look, you can see where the different little tribes are. On the first day of a work camping job, you can definitely see that as far as couples, that they will definitely stick close together. If there's any talking going on, there'll be a little bit of conversing between different work campers, but for the most part, you'll see people kind of keeping close to their spouse because it's obviously it allows you to gain a comfort in that person. So whenever you're in I think definitely whenever either of us is in a stressful situation at this point, we both look to each other more so for and as a comfort, because we have grown used to doing that.
That's a very good point, because when somebody is having a bad day at work, the other partner might not really understand why. But because you're working together and you've all felt the crush of a crowd or, you know, the equipment not working or something like that, you're in a better position to empathize with what they're going through.
Absolutely. And kind of going along with that too, it's nice to have, even besides it being the first day, but throughout your work camping job, we've learned each other's strengths and weaknesses with different positions, with different jobs that we've worked. And we know that if we're having trouble with a certain issue that comes up, we can always count on each other to help out with that or to lend some advice. So just being each other's cheerleader and coach throughout the work camping experience is another plus that we've seen.
Sure. Now, you've spent half of your time being married as work campers and as RVers. If you had to suggest things to talk about for people who are about to go on the road, is there anything that you think that couples should really explore before making the decision to launch full time?
A few things. Sometimes, when couples are close, there's the first thing to note is that you can't necessarily fall into treating each other like you normally would at home. There's a lot of things that couples can potentially get away with each other. Say, for example, if somebody does something that was annoying, sometimes one person can give a rude gesture to the other one. And to them, that's kind of a loving thing. And it's just something they do. However, if you're working in the middle of Amazon, giving that same rude gesture across the floor is not necessarily acceptable in that workplace.
So that's...
Actually, Amazon Camper Force makes it a point to let all of the employees know from the get-go that it's important to respect the rules, respect everyone around you and what you say out loud, especially to your spouse. So that must have happened in the past before for them to have to say it at the beginning.
And on top of that, it is, especially when you're working with somebody that you're living with all the time, it does become easier to get annoyed at those little things. And when you're married to the person, you're used to being able to express your annoyance. Whereas obviously when you're working with somebody that you're not married to, you have a little bit more reservation. There's generally a little bit more of a filter. If somebody does something that's slightly annoying to you, you kind of are forced to brush it off when they're just a work acquaintance. But it's very easy to show your spouse that you are annoyed with something that they did at the workplace. And that can make the workplace appear hostile to others, and also has a potential to pour over to when you're back in the RV and you're no longer working.
Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with that when it comes up in your lives?
Before we got married, we actually went through this marriage counseling session as part of the whole marriage package, I guess, or with that particular church. And I mean, this happens at work and this happens when you're not working. So regardless if you're work camping or not together. But one thing that they said was to take time apart from each other, to give each other space. So we have a little phrase that we use if we ever need time away from each other, like right after work or on our days off, if we just want to take time apart from each other and just take time for ourselves, we'll usually say, "I need a time out." And that allows us to not have to go into a long explanation of why we need space for ourselves and cause another conflict there. And it's kind of like our code word for, "I'll come back and revisit with you a little bit later."
After I calm down, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. The rule of that is when somebody does say "I want to take a time out," is not to take that as personal, and also not to use it as a personal thing, because you can very angrily tell somebody you're taking a time out, but you can also say it logically. I need a time out sounds a lot like go do something else with yourself.
Sometimes we still have to work on that part.
it is a constant, deciding to spend as much time as a full-time RVer / work camper spends with their spouse. If you can imagine how much effort and work it takes when you don't work with your spouse and the time that you do spend with them, that effort does multiply a little bit. I mean, obviously relationships are an agreement of two people to work together to have a good relationship. So that work does kind of increase a little bit the longer you are confined together.
You find that you turn to each other in a workplace situation for help before you go seek somebody else out?
Yes. That is doing basically anything where you're both working in the same location, whether that be doing a long project together or a volunteer. It doesn't necessarily have to be go out and get a job together. If you just volunteer at a business or any,
something. Or even do a home project together too. I mean, something that requires you to work maybe several days together. And that way you can kind of get a grasp of, because everybody wears different hats. I mean, you wear your work hat, you wear your at home hat, you wear your social hat. So if you're not used to your spouse in that work setting, I mean, they can be a completely different, they can function completely differently in that setting. So having an idea of, okay, what kind of worker are you? Are you a follower, a leader? I mean, to have that grasp of how they work and their work ethics is a good pre.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the word. It's a good idea to have at the beginning.
Yeah. There's a meme on Facebook that I saw recently that said that there's two types of people, those that have their suitcase packed and everything ready 2 weeks before a trip, and the other type of person who wakes up that morning of the trip and realizes they need to do two loads of laundry. And those people are typically married to each other.
Yes, indeed.
So definitely doing something that would allow you to understand how your spouse works. You kind of have to make you're not really going to drastically change somebody. You kind of do have to look at accepting that their work style may be different than yours. And I don't want to say accept their faults, because it's not necessarily a fault, but it's something that might be different and might take some effort to work with.
Well, and that's another thing, like not working on each other's weaknesses and building up those weaknesses to become just like your strengths are.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that if I were working with a spouse side by side, that my attitude and demeanor at work would be entirely different than it would be at home. At work, I would tend to be more of a head down, let's get the work done, no nonsense kind of stuff, kind of personality. But at home, I'd be a little bit more open and more caring and things like that. Is there a way for couples to discern this or figure this out?
Yeah, it kind of boils down to, first of all, the process of learning how each person is at work, and what their personality type is, and understanding that the differences are not necessarily a bad thing, is the first thing. And, the next would definitely be to, if there is something that concerns you about work, or how your spouse is at work, to communicate and ask questions. Because, I mean, generally, if two people have decided to live in a small box together, they obviously feel that they have care for each other and are willing to work things out. The other person doesn't always know if there's an issue. So communication is definitely a big part of that. If, as you were saying, say, for example, somebody is much more no nonsense at work, and then at home, they're a bit more open and caring. If another person takes that as a bad thing, they need to communicate with that person and say, hey, why do you do this? And it might just be a simple explanation of, well, when I'm working, I just want to get the work done and I don't want to mess about.
And it's so easy to say, well, you just need to communicate with each other. I mean, we worked together before full-time RVing with that pet sitting business. And that small 2 years, I don't feel prepared us thoroughly enough for when we went into work camping and living together, because we still were working on giving each other space at the end of the day, and being open to say, you know, I'm not really comfortable with this and this that happened at work, or I feel like personally, I felt a little inadequate at some of the jobs. I worked when we were working with campgrounds, like there were some situations where I didn't know how to troubleshoot certain RV problems that customers were giving, and Levi knew a lot about how to do that. So I kind of had to work on that thought process of it. So you don't have to feel inadequate or not as knowledgeable as your spouse. I had to look at it as, okay, I'm stepping out of my box and I'm trying something new, and I have my spouse here to support and help me. So I shouldn't feel that inferiority. Like, you're working together as a team. But what I'm trying to say is the whole communication process is a process. So you need to give each other time and patience, and you'll find your groove with each other as you're work camping, and it's almost like a little dance that we do now. I mean, we know how each other is in the work environment and what kind of worker we are, and we're able to help each other out with our ebbs and flows as we go through a season. But it took time to learn how we each worked in that setting.
And honestly, there's definitely going to be times when you don't feel like communicating, or, you know, obviously, just like every relationship, there is going to be times where it's more difficult than others. And just like Natalie was describing, as far as her feelings, it's important that you do take time out when each of you needs it to build each other up. So not just, hey, you did this at work, and why did you do this? I didn't like this, or so on. You also do need, it's important to, when the opposite person needs it, to give them positive feedback. Like, you're really good at doing such and such, and you're really good at doing that. I rely on you for this. And so, I mean, obviously, if both of you are working on the same job, both of you are important in that job. And it's sometimes important that the other person knows that you realize that they are vital and that they are important. And that goes not just one way, but both ways. So communication isn't just solving a negative issue, but also building up the person that you're working with positive information as well.
Work Camper News works closely with the Ziegler Corporation, and they've incorporated a lot of their materials in some of the training that they are offering. And I'm wondering if their DISC assessment is included in that, or if Work Camper News would even make that available to couples who are considering full-time RVing, just so that they understand what each other's personality types are, so that when somebody is blunt, they realize that they're not being mean to them. It's just, that's their personality style. And it might help offset or avoid some of the problems that people have when they're living in close quarters like that.
Yeah,
that would be a very good thing. One thing that what you said just kind of reminded me of is another thing to remember, that I have to remember constantly. Sometimes one of you is going to have a bad day and be in a bad mood, not necessarily treat, for example, if Natalie has a bad day and she's just in a bad mood, I have a tendency to take that mood personally, even if there's no evidence that there is nothing, that it has nothing to do with me personally. And so that it therefore can kind of pour over and make the other person, combative or also in a bad mood when it's really not called for. It's kind of one of those things that we kind of gotten to a point now, we do a lot of communication without even
saying
speaking.
Anything.
Yeah. I mean, we can kind of read each other fairly well at this point. It probably took several years for me to be able to make a conscious, you know, thought in my head that, you know, this this person's upset about the workday and this has nothing to do with me. I just need to take a time out and wait for whenever that person's ready to speak to me about it, if they want to talk about it at that time.
And sometimes you don't even realize that you do certain things or act a certain way or give a certain facial expression and it's read, you know, a certain way. And through work camping with each other for 6 years, not only have we learned about each other's strengths and weaknesses and how we work good together, but we've learned about ourselves and how we are in the work environment that we never knew that we actually were projecting out to others.
That's a good point, because you know that spouses, the longer they're married, they just seem to know intuitively the exact combination it will take to enrage their partner. And I don't know how that is, but it's just
you speak the truth. Yeah, it is. It's like this innate thing that you that you develop over the time. And I feel like, I mean, personally, and Levi's already said this too, that we have grown together so much more and closer being in a small RV together and working with each other. I mean, it's almost sickening sometimes because we've worked a couple of jobs apart from each other. Two summers, we worked separately. I worked at a campground both times, and Levi worked in a scuba diving capacity both times. And we didn't see each other for, I don't know, 8 to 12 hours a day. And we were, I mean, we would talk to each other on the phone all the time. I mean, we just missed each other. It was like part of us was missing. And I know some people, when I tell them this, are giving me this look like, are you crazy? What's the matter with you?
Right.
But we're being with around each other all the time.
Is there something that couples can do so that when they recognize that the other person is on number 6 of the 7-digit combination, that they can back off before the fuse is officially lit?
I think the first thing is, well, I kind of go back to communication. If you realize that your partner's there, obviously, as you pointed out, if you can recognize that your partner's there, you probably already know what all the right buttons are to push that further. So step one would be, to not push those buttons.
Right. Exactly.
step two, and sometimes simply, space is needed for a little bit. So if you were thinking about going for a walk, it might be a good time to take that walk, even if you're not angry with each other at that point. If you recognize that the person just needs a little bit of defusing time, give that to them. And sometimes not even necessarily leaving the RV, busying yourself with something in the RV can be helpful.
Well, if there's like chores that need to get done, you can always go and do the laundry or go and get groceries or something helpful like that. That might help diffuse the situation too.
Yeah, I've noticed that doing the dishes helps me sometimes.
Which is good because there are plastic dishes in RVs, right?
Yeah, some glass still, but so basically recognizing it, not pushing the buttons, and every once in a while, I have noticed that, kind of pushed the buttons a little bit at times where basically if I recognize something's wrong and I don't understand, asking what's wrong, that can be a very loaded question in and of itself. Because once you ask that question, you're probably going to get an answer. Mm-hmm. if it has nothing to do with you, you might get an answer that has nothing to do with you. However, if it was, while you were working all day, you were tapping your nails on the desk in a particular rhythmic manner and it just drove them up the wall and they don't want to see your face mm-hmm. at this moment in time, it could be that answer.
Right.
You sound like you've experienced this before.
How do you folks maintain individual interests? I know that's important in a marriage, that each member of the couple have their own hobbies or things that they like to do that they just squirrel away. Do you make time for that?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I really like to run, so I usually have my time in the morning where I'll go out for a run or a walk. And there's been a few work camping situations where we've been next to, like, for example, when we were in Wichita, we were next to a humane society. So I would go on my days off and go volunteer over there. That's not always the case where you have that convenience. But yeah, absolutely. If you can, if you have your own hobbies, Levi likes to go take photography pictures. He likes scuba diving. So if we're next to any kind of body of water or even a puddle, he'll go and grab his gear and go for a dive.
And sometimes the different things that we're doing, for example, Natalie is perfectly comfortable just hanging out and watching TV. Like 90% of the United States, apparently, she enjoys crime shows. and I am perfectly comfortable just browsing YouTube or playing a game on my computer. So just something, and in that instance, we're not necessarily doing anything together and we're on opposite sides of the RV, but we have our own, we do have our downtime from each other.
Sure.
But yeah, if you have any hobbies, pursue those hobbies. And it actually took us, because we have both been, since we're in the RV, like for example, when Natalie started running, I felt, and I typically am not a huge runner unless somebody's chasing me. And usually only if that person is wielding a sharp object will I run.
Mm-hmm.
So at first I was kind of, you know, thinking, oh, she's doing this running thing, and so I got to do it too. And it turns out that you don't necessarily, some of your hobbies obviously will overlap, but having your own individual interests and expressing those, whatever they are, is definitely an important aspect for keeping it relatively healthy.
Mm-hmm. I notice that you folks are instructors with the RV Dreamers Journey program. Do you talk about relationships and things like that as part of that training?
The work camper RV dream, actually, we didn't really mention it too much. We did a video with them that was actually basically just introducing seasonal work camping for a living and how we did it, which consequently is the title of the book we wrote about work camping, Seasonal Work Camping for a Living, How We Did It, available on Amazon and paperback and Kindle.
Oh,
and
cool.
I did my commercial.
I'm trying to think if we ever mentioned that in the session that we just did last week. And I think it was more just the introduction to work camping and the types of jobs that we had. But that's a good idea, though, to incorporate that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people do ask, whenever they're speaking with us, we've been asked a few times, kind of, what's it like, you know, living in an RV? We haven't really heard too many people talk about what
work
it's like
camping, yeah,
working together and living in the RV together, because it adds another element to it.
It sure does. So you guys blog about a lot of things and have some videos that you put up on your own YouTube channel, don't you?
Yes.
Do you talk about relationships and things like that, or the kinds of things that you do, life in an RV?
I have written an article, I believe at one point,
it was RVing with your spouse, and it was talking about sharing, well, one of the things, he lists like different ways that you can bond and build your relationship on the road, and one of them was sharing responsibilities as far as RV repairs go, driving, because you're both responsible for living in this tiny place and you want to maintain it together and learn about its functions together. So both taking responsibility instead of only one person doing all of the work.
That's a good point, is that division of duties. really is important when you've got couples together to make sure that it all gets done.
Right. I mean, if something happens, hopefully not to one or the other. I mean, if you need to get somewhere and someone doesn't know how to drive the RV or hook it up together, that's not good.
Yeah. Right. And the way things kind of work out, patience is probably one of the biggest things with just about, every aspect of a relationship. Patience is important in a certain way. But a lot of times we've noticed with a lot of couples that the guy, for instance, probably has experience or may have experience hooking up trailers and working with different equipment that's similar to an RV. And so we've noticed that a lot of times the husband of a couple, or one person at least in the couple, will be more comfortable doing those things. And so they kind of fall into this, they always do those things. And it is important for the other person, A, to know how to do those, but the process of the other person who is not familiar with those things, it doesn't mean that they know less or are less adequate at it. It just means they don't have experience in that. So the partner that does have the experience, if the other person is interested in learning that, they need to definitely show a certain amount of patience while that person learns it. I mean, because you may have hooked a trailer onto a hitch 1,000 times in your lifetime before getting an RV, but your spouse may have never done it. So they still need that mileage. They still need that hooking it up many times and over again before it becomes reflexive. So it's important to understand that we all start at a different starting point in this. And so try not to get irritated if the partner doesn't get it right away or if it takes them a little while to learn. And remember, it took you a little while to learn too. You just happened to have learned it first.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that we talk about, speaking about sharing, is dividing up the RV space as equally as you can with your stuff. So, like, for example, Levi has a lot of scuba diving equipment and photography equipment and some other stuff that he has. So kind of giving each, but we've worked it out so that we each have our own space and our own storage to accommodate our hobbies and our likes and interests. But it's important that one person doesn't take over the RV unit, and because you're both living in it. So dividing that storage space up. I'm looking at the article right now.
It for our website, didn't we?
Yeah. There was one more big thing about, kind of the same way that you learn about how each other is in the work environment. As far as full-time RV living, you also learn about how each other deals with, emergencies or unexpected repairs that happen. And this is something that we both have evolved into something more positive than how we started at before. So when something would break down, which inevitably it's going to happen with the RV lifestyle, there was always this initial sense of panic and, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And we would switch off with our roles. One of us would be really panicky and the other one would kind of have a calmness. And that's good that we were opposite of each other, because at least we could balance each other out. But I mean, there might be a situation where a couple is just freaking out, both of them at the same time, and that's not helping out solving the situation, which will happen. And that needs to be expected, that your ride is not going to be smooth with this lifestyle. So expect those problems to happen at the most inconvenient time, but it's important to work together to solve them. And that's something, like I said, that we've kind of evolved into doing, because at first it was just freaking out and this is awful, what are we going to do, why are we living this lifestyle? And now it's evolved into, okay, this has happened before, or oops, something isn't working right now. What can we do? What resources can we pull to work on this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what I said.
That's perfect. Well, this has been a lot of information. I really appreciate it. If people wanted to follow you guys and your relationship and your work camping experience, how could they do it?
You can, we have our website, henleyshappytrails.com. Actually that article, which I believe I titled The Real Truth About Full-Time RVing with Your Spouse, I wrote on that before that website. We also have a YouTube channel by the same name, Henley's Happy Trails. We post regularly. If you go to the website, you can sign up for our newsletter. We try to make it monthly. Sometimes work camping and traveling and all of that, we don't get to it exactly monthly, but we try to. Of course, we have our work camping book, full-time or seasonal work camping for a living, How We Did It, on Amazon and Kindle. So those are pretty much, we also are on Facebook and Instagram. So it's all Henley's Happy Trails. So if you Google that, you should find it. We also write for a few, we write consistently for Work Camper News. We also write consistently freelance for camperreport.com, as well as a couple other online publications. So if you Google Henley's Happy Trails or our names, you're bound to find us somewhere on the internet.
But
henleyshappytrails.com and YouTube would be the main places.
Do you have any last minute words of wisdom for people?
Well, we're not marriage counselors in any sense of the word. Our whole point on this session today on this podcast is we come across a lot of new RVers, a lot of new RV couples. And as we're doing our jobs together, we'll recognize certain things that the behaviors that other RVing couples are doing, and kind of reminiscing on our own experience getting into that work camping environment. And our whole point on this is to say, yes, it's going to take work and effort and compromise and a bit of humility and being emotional and mentally strained at some time when you're work camping together, aside from full timing RVing together. But it's important to know that you are in this together. You're each other's support system. And it's only if you are devoted and willing to work on it, your relationship on its own will just develop and be closer the more that you do this. Make sure that you have like Titanic love music in the back as you're recording this.
That's a good idea.
Basically what she said, definitely recognize that the two of you are a team. If you've ever worked in a team environment, it does require everybody to do their part and also not only understand the strengths and weaknesses of their teammate, but also to build the other teammate up and allow them to shine in those unique strengths.
Very
and
good.
And support them in their weaknesses.
I think we should write a lifetime script.
There you go. That's right. Or just take one of the main six scripts that are used in the Hallmark movies and then just tweak it a little bit.
Right.
Super. Well, that's thank funny. You again, guys. I really appreciate the time and I wish you the best of luck at the beet harvest.
Yes. Thank you very much. We appreciate always talking to you.
Yes. Thank you. And hopefully the weather's great for beets this year.
Work camping can truly enhance a strong relationship or work to expose cracks in a relationship's foundation. That's why I'm particularly grateful to Levi and Natalie Henley for coming on the show to explain what they do that works to maintain a positive and successful marriage. As they noted, sometimes people just have a bad day at work or get into a bad mood. but we tend to internalize that and believe the other person is upset with us specifically, when in fact it could just mean that the other person's having a bad day or overwhelmed about something that doesn't even involve the spouse. That's why communication is so critical to ensuring a mutually rewarding marriage and a positive work camping experience. Levi and Natalie actively delve into relationships, both personal and work relationships, in their blog and in some of the YouTube videos they have prepared. You can find their blog at www.henleyshappytrails.com or by searching for the Henley's Happy Trails YouTube channel. One of the things that can really help a couple before they engage in a work camping situation is to complete what's called a DISC assessment, D-I-S-C. It's a quick personality test that shows you and your partner how you're likely to respond in various situations. This knowledge raises awareness of how a person typically behaves in that kind of an environment. So, for example, if your spouse is more dominating than you may be, you can identify that as a personality trait and not as really something that's directed at you personally. Because you are aware of how your partner thinks and acts, you can see him or her more clearly, eye to eye, and connect on a better human level. The DISC test also is valuable in helping you identify work situations that you are ideally suited for your personality. Again, if you are more of a tell me what to do and then get out of my way kind of person, you will be much happier at a job where they expect work campers to take the initiative rather than working at a job where people are more micromanaged. Knowing your personality and that of your spouse or partner goes a long way to improving your experiences, not only at work, but after hours back in the RV too. Work Camper News allows couples to take a DISC assessment as part of the RV Dreamer's Journey and new Small Biz RVer courses. However, you can't just take the test itself by visiting the Work Camper site. The cost ranges from $12.95 to $69.95, depending upon how detailed you want the results to be. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people will experience with their RVs. You can sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for today's show. Next week, I'll talk to another work camping couple about their experiences as full-time RVers. If they can do it, you can too. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Work Camper Show.